Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, but I will read from verse 10. This is the reading of God's word. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. You have promised that the faith comes from hearing your word. So we pray that as we hear your word, our faith will grow. And with that growing faith, that we will be able to witness Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. Through your word, let us see what our heavenly reality, eternal reality is, so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ through your word. Oh Father, we pray that you will bless a preacher who is preaching, so that he may bring your word correctly. And be with all of us, that we may hear your word and understand and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are reading the content of, we're studying the content of Paul's prayer. Paul is praying for Colossian congregation. But let me remind you again and again that it's God's word. So this is Jesus' prayer for us, his people. Paul prays that they would live a life that is worthy of the Lord, to please Lord in all respects. And that life is listed as four things. First, bearing fruit in every good work. Second, growing in the knowledge of God. Third, strengthened with all power for steadfastness and patience. And fourth, joyously giving thanks to the Father. We have already looked at the first two, so today we're looking at the third, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. This is the will of our Lord Jesus Christ for you. The life that is worthy of the Lord, the life that pleases the Lord in all respects. As we think about this life, some of us, maybe all of us, are discouraged. We know that we do not have the ability nor power to live this life. Life that is worthy of the Lord. A life that pleases our Lord in every aspect. We know that no matter how much we are determined to live this life, we will fail. But the Bible tells us that the problem is not so much that we don't have the ability nor power, but the problem is the lack of faith. The truth is that the power is already given to us in Jesus Christ. Problem is that you don't believe it. That's the problem. So that you already know that it's not going to work because you don't believe that the power you need to live this life is already given to you. Let me read you a few verses that tells you that this power is already given to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." He gave us a spirit of power and love and discipline. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5a, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." Now, power, of course, that we're speaking of is not our own power. And we cannot generate this power with our own ability or strength. Which means it is not the ability of man that we are talking about. But see, you are not just man. It's like Jesus Christ is not just God, but he's also man. But you're not just man, but God lives in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." It is the power to triumph over sin and over this world. I want you to understand that as we read this kind of verses, I want you to realize that God is not just telling us to do our best with our own power and ability. You see, that's what other false religion tells their people. It's all about your own ability and your own strength. And there God says, do your best, and if you do well, then I will bless you. All false gods will tell their people like that. See, Bible is not telling us just do your best with your own strength and with your own power. Because God already knows that if that's what we do, we'll all fail forever. Ultimately fail forever. So why would God command us to do something that he knows that we cannot? No, God tells us to know what kind of power and ability that are given and are being given to you. That's what he's telling you. Not just do your best with your own strength, but he says to know and believe what kind of power has given to you already in Jesus Christ. That's his command. Because only by believing, only by faith, the true good works will come out. So first thing you need to do is that you need to know and you need to believe and you need to trust that the power that you need is in you because Jesus Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit resides in you. That's the first thing you need to believe and trust. Read again our verse for today. It says, "Strengthened with all power according to his," God's, "glorious might." Now, glorious might, God's glorious might. Now, how mighty is this? His glorious power. Do you know what has been given to you, brothers and sisters? Do you believe? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, God wants us to know, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand and in the heavenly places. I mean, look at the language. He puts adjective after adjective so that, you see, he cannot fully express what he wants to say. The surpassing greatness of his power. Amazing power. God's might and power that create the whole universe with His Word. God's power and might that accomplish the new creation in Jesus Christ. God's power and might that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That same power is in you, in Jesus Christ. You must believe. But see, we don't believe. Oh yeah, you might say, yeah, I know. But when it comes to you actually going out and live your life, you don't believe that this power is in you. That's the problem. So it's like you are already defeated even before you start because don't believe. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. All power that comes from God's glorious might. That's the phrase that Paul uses, all power. You are strengthened with all power that comes from God's glorious might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You could be strong. That's why He commands you to be strong. But not be strong on your own ability, but be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You are strengthened with the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how strong His strength do you believe? And if you are given that strength. God works in us with His might. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul says, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power which mightily works within me." See, he labors, but he understands that it is according to the mighty power that is works in him. He believes. This is why we are able in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 through 31, an Old Testament expression of the same truth. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. It's a typological language, so you really need to understand that it's not literally, you know, you run all day and you're not going to be tired. But you get his point. So, okay, this power is given to us. But our verse says more than just that fact. It tells us, okay, now what do we do with this power that is in us? So this is a very important point because so many people misunderstand at this point. Okay, with this power that is given to you, what do you do with that? Does the Bible say, now because this power is given to you, go out and conquer the world and possess the world, be successful in the world? Is that what the Bible says? Oh, but that's what they want, these so-called church people. Why do they want power in the first place? So that they could have this world, go out and possess this world, conquer it. Is that what the Bible says? No. You do that with the power of this sinful world. When this sinful world talks about ability and power, it's all about attaining this world. It's about possessing the things of the world. But God's power that is working in us mightily will enable us to do what? Well, let's go back to our passage, our verse. It says that power for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Ah, this is a letdown, huh? Because you want to hear God has given us this power so that you could go conquer the world. But he has given us this power for attaining steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness, endurance, long suffering. And to attain patience, patience with joy. These might not be what you want to do with the power of God that is working in you, but the Bible is very clear. God wants you to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all long-suffering and patience. This is why the gospel is not really good news to non-believers. You know, some people want to change the gospel into something that even non-believers want to hear. But that's not true gospel. Read it yourself. What does it say? Bearing and tolerating all difficult circumstances. Patience has the same meaning, but in terms of your relationship with the others. Bearing patiently the ones that anger us and persecute us. It means to restraining revenge. See, God's power that is given to us is not for showing off. I mean, that's worldly power. When we want to show off how strong our nation is, you know, we do that during war and show how much weapons we have. You know, this is world. And don't expect any other than that from the world. That's what they're going to do. But God's power is not for us to show up. It's actually for endurance. long-suffering, bearing and tolerating all difficult circumstances, and bearing patiently the ones that anger us and persecuting us. The difference between the world and Christians with regard to power is very clear. World wants power also, but for different purpose. But God's power is given to us with this purpose that we see in the Bible. So power is for long suffering and patience. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4, therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and affliction which you endure. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. According to God's word, why does God give us the power? Why does He work in us with His mighty power so that we may patiently endure? Is this really good news to you? This is the gospel. This is what the Bible tells us. Why is this? Why this way? You might ask, you know, why does God do it this way? So that we may be more like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. I mean, if you read about Jesus' life, 33 years that he lived here on earth, it was all about suffering. It was all about enduring. It's all about patience. You know, God could have just flipped his finger and destroyed all of his enemies. And yet Jesus just endured all those persecutions, ridiculing and even hitting and spitting. He patiently endured. Why? Because he didn't have power to destroy those people? And our desire is to be like him. This is why non-Christian will never follow Jesus Christ. See, they have this wrong understanding of who Jesus is. And wrong understanding of what Jesus will do for them if they follow him. But if you truly understand what Jesus is telling us, and if I don't believe in Jesus, I wouldn't follow this. Because if I don't believe in Jesus, then to me, the world is everything. There's no heaven. And then this is it. This is everything. Then I'm going to go out and possess this. Because that's it. There's nothing else. So don't expect the worldly people to follow this. But see, you're saved from all that. God has given you faith. God has given you understanding of what God wants, what pleases Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. They were going through so much sufferings. If you read Hebrews, it tells us that there was so much persecutions because they believe in Christ, that there were possessions, their houses, people were just taking them away. And they were going to jail and just really, really hardships. And here's God telling them, consider Jesus who has endured such hostility by sinners against him, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Look at Jesus and look at his life and look at how much he suffered, so that you will not lose heart. This is God's way. Why can't God just get rid of those people who are persecuting them? Give them back their possession. Not just their possession they used to have, but give them a lot. Why can't God just do that? No, he says, but hey, you are suffering, I know. But look at Jesus, how much he suffered so that you may not lose heart. Do you think the world will like God's method? Do you think they will actually love what God says? That's why I'm preaching to Christians. And this worship is Christians gathering to worship our God. Because now you have an ear to hear. God gave you spiritual eyes to see the truth. That's why Paul was willing to be suffered and being persecuted. He actually welcomed the suffering. Oh, his prayer was, I want to know more. What is the sharing in his suffering is? Because his whole purpose is to be like Jesus Christ. It's my purpose, and it's your purpose. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Now, cross, you understand, he's dying on the cross. What is the joy that was set before him? I mean, I said this many, many times to you. Maybe some sinners will think the joy will be that he come down from the cross. But no, he will die. He knows he's going to die. What was the joy? It was that heavenly joy. For that he endured the cross. Just like Paul said, suffering of this age cannot be compared to the glory that is to come. See, our focus is not on this world. Our focus is in heaven. Eternal life is not eternal life here. Oh, that will be cursed. Can you just picture you live here eternally? Why would we want that? Eternal life is eternal life in heaven. That's what our Lord has accomplished for us. His life, Jesus' life, was all about enduring the cross and hostility with patience. And our God is long-suffering. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, meaning patience of God, he passed over the sin previously committed. We thank God that God is patient when he's dealing with us. That's why he's calling us. Oh, I love baby's crying sound. It's just so wonderful. Yeah. And just because he's crying, we do not kick him out from the worship. We want him to stay within the worship. He's suffering and enduring. All right. Think about this. God is calling us to be patient with other people. And it's so difficult to do that. But God says, God shows us that he is patient. How patient is God when he's dealing with you? I mean, when you read the Old Testament, I mean, the whole thing is about God's patience, don't you think? I mean, look at the people, how sinful and just mass of forgetful of God's grace. The whole book, whole Old Testament is about God's patience. We are to imitate our God. Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 8, verse 32, speaks of Jesus. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent. He does not open his mouth. Even though he was captured and being killed, but he was silent, did not open his mouth. Patience, enduring, long suffering. During the church age, our Lord is patient toward the sinners. Even now, can you just look at what these sinners are doing out there? I mean, you look at, you know, hear news and watch TV, all kinds of just filthy sins committing. And you look, do you see the patience of God? I do. We could just see how long-suffering our God is. Man, if I was God, I would just destroy this universe. Man, it would not last 2 seconds. Why would I endure all this whatever that is going on out there? Thank God, you know, God is not like me. He endures long suffering. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9 says, and he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put it fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down. But he says to this sinful world that he is patient. Look, it's God figure here. He says, man, I've been waiting and waiting, and this tree will not bear any fruit, so let's cut it down. And here's a Jesus figure saying, no, have patience. I'll work on it. I will put fertilizer. I will try my best to, so that next year it will bear fruit. It's a redemptive history. Old Testament was like that. God waited and waited, and Old Testament Israel would not bear any good fruit. But God, be patient. Jesus comes and he does all these things for us. He saves us so that we could bear good fruit, so that God will not cut us down. That parable is all about redemptive history, in whole redemptive history in just one paragraph. But he says to the sinful world, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 15, about his second coming. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And regard the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. You know, some people say, well, Jesus, what, he said he's going to come back? It has been 2,000 years. Where is he? But even him delaying coming up to this point, and we don't know when he's going to come, it's about his patience. So that people will repent. And obviously, if you're not chosen, he will not repent, but that's what is being witnessed, even as we wait for our Lord's return. He's being patient. But Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, God says, or do you think lightly the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience? Do not think lightly, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God says, do not take lightly the patience of God, because his kindness should lead you to repentance. But because people are stubborn, they don't repent. So what are they doing? As God patiently waiting, they're storing up his wrath on themselves. So this non-Christian should not mock, where is Jesus? You say he's going to come back. What he should do is repent, but his stubbornness will not make him repent. So what he's actually doing is storing up God's wrath on him. This is a serious situation. People really don't understand. Of course, that Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, storing up wrath, is speaking of non-Christians. But we could still learn from it. And even Christians, we must not test God's patience. Are you testing him in his patience in your life? You keep doing the same sin over and over and over. Are you testing God's patience? We must not. God gives us his power, or works in us with his power, so that we may endure with patience. For this reason, the sufferings come our way. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Do you see it? Suffering brings endurance. And by enduring, there's hope. See, this is God's design. This is God's method. World will not understand this. I mean, to them, suffering is just 100% bad. I mean, they will do everything to avoid suffering. But what Bible teaches us is that it is God's grace in disguise, so that our endurance will build up, so that we could have hope, so that we could be more like Christ. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brethren. See, when you encounter various trials, I told you many times, right, these kind of verses gave me so much problem when I began, you know, my Christian life. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. Now I know what it means. But back then, man, what is God telling me? Consider it a pure joy when I suffer? Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you want to lack in nothing? Then endure with faith in sufferings. This is God's design. That's how you become a mature Christian, through sufferings, and you endure with joy. There's a reason why Christians suffer. And all of us do. And then don't put down someone else's suffering, because, you know, to everybody is different. Because some suffering, to you, it might be something you could endure really easily, but that same suffering might not be that easily endured by others. And there's another suffering that person probably endure easily, which you can't. So you don't judge like that, but everybody suffers. But see, the key is enjoy. Enjoy. God loves you. Learn how to enjoy loneliness. I do that a lot. It's quite enjoyable. I'm not just mocking it, I mean it. Because that's when I clearly know God's presence, that He is with me, that He will never forsake me and leave me. Enjoy. Luke chapter 21, verse 16 through 19, but you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name, yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your life. Oh yeah, during history, we read a lot of stories like this. Even in Korea, right? These North Koreans came down and tell people to, you know, denounce Christ. And they want to find out who is Christian. So people, they tell on their brothers and sisters, their parents, so that could be treated well by that enemy. They sold you out. Even when these kind of things happen, and various, you know, similar things happen in our lives, maybe not that in degree, you know, but yeah, we betray people, and you'll be betrayed by other people because of your faith. But your endurance will save your life. Heavenly, eternal life. See. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If someone persecutes you, someone makes you angry for no reason, if someone makes you suffer, pray for him or her. Revenge is not yours. Revenge is God's. God says, I will revenge for you. So you do good. But if that person does not repent, then what is he doing? Well, he's storing up God's wrath on his head. But see, that's not your focus, though. You pray, you feed him, you get the point why he says that kind of stuff. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. We'll come to the end of the sermon here. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Again, do you think this kind of message will be well received by the world? I mean, slaves, obey your master. Not just good masters, but unreasonable masters. Shouldn't God tell us, go and revolution, right? Go throw down the masters and be free. That is not what the Bible says, you guys. Because that is not what Jesus has done. He could have done that. When Roman soldiers, they came to capture him, he showed that, right? You know, when you read Book of John, when they came and says they were looking for Jesus, and he comes out, he goes, I am. And then everybody falls down. You never see that in Jesus' movie. Because they want to portray Jesus as a helpless person who's being captured. You never see that. You will never find that scene in any of those movies. But in the Bible, it says, he comes out, it says, hey, here I am, and everybody falls down. To show us that he's letting them capture him. If he did not want to be captured, no one in the world can capture him. But willingly suffer for you. So that we, too, willingly suffer for him. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. See, when you're suffering unjustly, but because you understand God's will, that you willingly suffer that joy, then this finds favor in God's eyes. And it's not just suffering. It says unjustly suffering. Yes, we need God's power to do this. How else are we going to do it? Unless God is working in us with his power for us to attain that steadfastness and patience, no one is able to do this. No one will unjustly, you know, when they're suffering unjustly, they will endure with joy. No one. And yet Jesus, on the cross, unjustly suffering, he didn't do anything wrong. For the joy that is ahead of him, he endured the cross. Do you want to be like him? Do you really want to be like him? Now, I'm not here to discourage you, because when you hear this kind of stuff, you might think, How am I going to do this? This is just impossible. That's why I'm telling you the gospel. The power of God is in you. God works in you with His mighty power. You could do this in Christ. Let me read you two passages and I will end this sermon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. See, this power of God is working in you so that even when you're afflicted in all ways, you will know that you will never be crushed. But that doesn't mean that affliction in every way will not happen to you. It will. But when you are afflicted in every way, remember, I will never be crushed ultimately. I might even die here on earth, but that's not really death. I will live forever in heaven. So, listen, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken. See, even when you're so persecuted, you know you're not being forsaken by God because those things are happening. Struck down, but not destroyed. That is your reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 through 10. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, and imprisonments, and in tumults, and in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying but behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Let us pray that God would pour out His grace upon us, that we may live the life that is worthy of the Lord, pleasing our Lord in all respects, strengthened with all power for steadfastness and patience. This is your eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. So pray with confidence. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love that you pour out to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the understanding of your word. Let us believe and let us live according to your word. Let us truly obey to bring glory and honor to you. Let us learn your ways, what pleases you, so that we could live according to your will. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.